I invite you to join me in the book of Genesis, chapter 5. And as you're turning there, I'd just like to whet your appetite a little bit for a couple of messages on over into Genesis. There's so many exciting foundational truths that you find. How many of you ever seen a beautiful rainbow? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you ever seen a beautiful double rainbow?
Amen.
Well, we find that from the book of Genesis, why we have rainbows. And that was God's response to one man's worship. The rainbow is God's remembering for Himself why He will not judge this earth again with a flood. And it came in response to one man's worship. One man's worship was such a sweet aroma rising up unto God that God said, I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky and I'll never judge the earth again through a flood. That was Noah. The first thing he did after coming out of judgment, after being protected from the judgment of God, is he worshiped to God. And that sweet aroma going up to God, God said, I like that. I'll never judge the earth this way again. And to remind you that I remember my covenant promises, I'll put a rainbow in the sky. So every time you see a rainbow, and every time I see a rainbow, you be thankful to a man named Noah that knew what to do when he came out from through God's judgment. Safe and secure, he worshiped. And that worship keeps us today from being destroyed in a flood. Well, that didn't cost you any extra. I'll get to that in a few weeks. But in Genesis chapter 5, I want to share a few great truths with you from the message that I have entitled, When He is Gone, It Will Come. When He is gone, it will come. Today we're going to be examining the life of a man named Enoch. And the man named Enoch, we're told, walked with God for over 300 years. But how did he become a man who walked with God, a man who worshiped God? Well, God told him something that would probably scare you or scare me. You look out and you see Mr. Warren right down here. Warren, raise your hand real high. What if God had told us, when Warren is gone, I'm going to judge the earth? You'd be praying for his safety a little bit, wouldn't you? What if it was Jerry Faulkner over here? What if God had said, when Jerry's gone, I'll judge the world? Now, he's been on so many deathbeds that there'd be a lot of people right with God right now if God had said, when Jerry's gone, I'm going to judge the world. Every time any sickness, any cold, any symptom would come up, we'd all begin to examine our vertical relationship, because when this man is gone, I'm going to judge the world. Well, God gave Enoch such a promise as that. And I'll tell you who that man was in the course of this message. But what we need to do, first of all, is go back and we need to examine the times that Enoch lived in. Let's go back and see what the Word of God teaches us about the times that Enoch was living in, when he would get such a promise from God that when a particular man is gone, I'm going to judge the world. First of all, what we would see is that socially, the world was perverted. Socially, the world had become perverted. Now, if something is perverted, it means it is less than God intended it to be. There are a lot of perverted things in the world today, but when you come back and find out how God created the earth and how He created man and why He created them, then you begin to see that the world in its entirety had become less than what God had intended to be. As a matter of fact, it became so foreign to what God had created to be, it began to grieve God's heart that it even made man to begin with. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That means that from the time man woke up until the time man went to bed at night, every thought he had was on how he could do something that was perverted in the sight of God. How did they get in such a perverted state of being? Well, let's go back and summarize real quickly three individuals and their influence upon the world. In Genesis chapter 4, there was a man named Jabal, and Jabal introduced the pursuit of profit. Jabal introduced the pursuit of profit. In verse 20, it says, "And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock." Now that phrase, "have livestock," means he cornered the market on livestock and he had learned how to make a profit. Now there's not anything wrong with a profit. I'd much rather at the end of my month have a profit than a deficit. Amen? I'd much rather end the year in a profit than a deficit. So the profit and the loss is not the issue. The issue is found in the specific wording of the statement that I made. Jabal introduced the pursuit of profit at the expense of the pursuit of God. You see, Jabal was of the descendant of the godless line of Cain. And Cain was running from God. He was trying to rid himself of God and the city that he built and the descendants that he raised. He was trying to get them to forget there is a God and have their own man-made religion. And so Jabal, he contributed to the perversion of the world by getting the world to pursue prophets. Secondly, Jabal had a brother, and his brother Jubal. Jubal influenced the world in this way. Jubal introduced the pursuit of pleasure. Jubal introduced the pursuit of pleasure. Now, not anything wrong with pleasure, especially the kind of pleasure that he introduced. Look at what it says in verse 21. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. He introduced to society the use of musical instruments in music. But there's not anything wrong with the use of musical instruments in music. What Jubal did was he used it to drown out the praise of God. He would use music and musical instruments to pursue pleasure rather than a tool to praise God. Music was before Jubal, music will be after Jubal, but the pursuit of pleasure in music at the expense of pleasing and praising God is what helped me bring perversion into the world. So we see we have Jabal. He introduced the pursuit of profit. We see Jubal. He introduced the pursuit of pleasure. Well, we've got a third fellow here in verse 22 named Tubal. Jabal, Jubal, Tubal. Tubal introduced the pursuit of power. Through his inventions and through his discoveries and the impetus of the Industrial Revolution, he used his power in technology to lord over people and try to get them to forget God. So socially, you can begin to see how the world was perverted. They pursued profits, they pursued pleasure, they pursued power, but they did not pursue after God. Well, what else was going on in the times that Enoch walked with God and lived for God? Not only do we see socially the world was perverted, but secondly, spiritually, the word was proclaimed. Even during that wicked and perverse time, there was always a remnant proclaiming the word of God. There was always people proclaiming the truth and righteousness and holiness of Almighty God. In order to discover that, there's two questions that we need to ask and answer. First of all, who were Enoch's contemporaries? Who would have been the contemporaries of Enoch that would have proclaimed the word of God in such a spiritually perverse society? Who would have been the ones that influenced him to do as the text says in chapter 5, verse 22, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Look at chapter 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What would it have been like for those people to be around him? Who would have been the ones who were his contemporaries that proclaimed the word of God around his time? Well, there's three that I'll mention to you for. I believe it started with his father, Jared. His father, Jared, would have certainly had an influence upon him, but his father was 162 years old when he was born. Just a young fella. Not only was his father a contemporary with him, being 162 years old when Enoch was born, but also, do you remember Seth? Do you remember the Bible mentioning Seth in chapter 4 and verse 26? As for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named his son Enosh. And it was then that men began to call on the name of the Lord. Well, Seth was 492 years old when Enoch was born. So Seth had been proclaiming the word. Enosh had been proclaiming the word. Jared had proclaimed or heard the word. But do you know who else would have been a contemporary of Enoch during his day? Adam. Adam was still alive. I mean, the first-hand witness, the first-hand observer of God in His glory, in perfection, in Eden. Adam was only 622 years old when Enoch was born. And so the oral tradition came around from Adam, and it would go down through Seth, and it would go down through Jared, to where Enoch would finally be the seventh in the line of the godly descendants from Adam. And so spiritually, the world was perverted. But spiritually, the word was still being proclaimed. We see who his contemporaries were. But there's a second question that we need to ask. What was Enoch's conviction? What was his conviction during this time of 300 years when he walked with God, when he witnessed for God, when he worshiped God? Wouldn't you like to know what Enoch said to that wicked and perverse society? Wouldn't you like to know what Enoch had to say? If he had one sermon, what would his sermon be? If he had one witnessing opportunity, what would his witnessing opportunity be? I have news for you. I know what he said. I know what his sermon was. I know word for word what the man said. You said, well, preacher, how do you know that? God told me. God told me what he said. Now, I know you're going, woo, woo. You know what? He's told you too. Did you listen?
Amen.
Did you just hear it? You will hear it. Turn to Jude, verse 14, for just a moment. In the book of Jude, this is how God told me what Enoch had to say. I know word for word what he had to say because God told us what he had to say. I'm not a mystic or psychic or anything like that. I just know what God has said and His Word is true, and what God's Word says is true, then it's good for you and it's good for me. In Jude verse 14, listen to the sermon that Enoch preached. Listen to the witness that Jude gave. It says to us in Jude verse 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. Now the word prophesied means to proclaim. He proclaimed something that had not yet happened. He was foretelling the future. He was warning about the future. He was giving a witness in his generation. And what was it that Enoch had to say? He prophesied about these men also saying, behold, that means look closely. That means listen wisely. It means write it down. It means get it in your heart. It means don't forget this right here. What did he tell them to look at? Behold, the Lord, he comes, but he doesn't come alone. He comes with 10,000s upon 10,000s of his saints. Why is he coming, Enoch? Why is he coming? He's coming to judge the world. That's what his conviction was as he went through there. Well, what kind of perversity did they have in the world at that time? Look at verse 15. To execute judgment on all. To convict all who are, what's that next word? Ungodly. Among them of all their, what? Ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way. And of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Do you think Enoch understood his times? Do you think Enoch understood that this was such a perverse society that no other word could describe them than ungodly? Now, where did ungodliness come from? It came from the influence of Cain, of Jabel, of Jubal, and of Tubal-Cain as they chose to seek a society among themselves that would forget God and have a man-made approach to religion, just like the statement made in your papers yesterday that there is another way to get to God than through Jesus Christ. That's Canaanite influence, not Christ-like influence from the Word of God. we see the times that Enoch lived in were sexually perverted, but spiritually the word was proclaimed. Number two, we not only need to examine the times that Enoch lived in, but now we need to spend a few moments to explore the testimony that Enoch lived by. Let's take a few moments to explore the testimony of this man named Enoch and how he lived so victoriously in such an ungodly time as that. I want every young person to pay close attention to what your pastor has to say today. I want every single adult to listen very carefully at what changed Enoch's life. Because you see, he didn't always walk with God. But something happened in Enoch's life that he began to walk with God. Look at what it says, and it had to do with two things that he received from God. First of all, Enoch received a warning that resulted in fear. God issued to Enoch a warning from God that resulted in fear in Enoch. I believe that's one thing that our society needs today. It's one thing that our generation needs to hear from God today, is a personal warning that would result in the fear of God being raised up in your life. The book of Romans tells us one thing about an ungodly society is there is no fear of God before them. We've lost our fear. But to fear God is the beginning of all wisdom. What was this warning that Enoch received? What was this warning that Enoch received that resulted in fear? I want you to look at Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21 for just a moment. It says, Enoch lived how many years? 65 years. There were 65 years he lived without walking with God. But then he begot Methuselah. After 65 years, he begot a child named Methuselah. Look at verse 22. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now, I know the birth of a baby has gotten many of parents' attention. I know that the birth of a son or birth of a daughter has brought great changes in anybody's lives. I'll even testify today that the birth of a granddaughter brings changes to your life. I remember when our first daughter was born, even as a pagan, even as an unbeliever, when I saw her for the very first time, I knew I was not prepared for the challenge that laid ahead of me. I knew that I was not equipped to be able to give to her what she needed. And for the very first and the clearest time up to that point, God got my attention through the birth of a baby. But you know, there's something more than just the birth of a normal baby that got Enoch's attention. See, God did two things when he gave him a warning. First of all, God delivered a promise through this child. God delivered a promise through this child. Look again at verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot, what's his name? Methuselah. Man, what a name. Come here, little Methus. What in the world was he saying in calling him Methuselah? Now, I know most of you would know Methuselah as the oldest man that ever lived, but yet he died before his father did. You figure that out, and in the course of the message here, you should be able to figure it out. But he's the oldest man that ever lived, yet he died before his father did. That's what you remember about Methuselah. He lived longer than anybody else. He lived 969 years. But what you may not have known is what Methuselah means. The name Methuselah means, when he is gone, it will come. The name Methuselah means, when this baby is gone, my judgment will come. Can you imagine the fear that came into young Enoch's life when baby Methuselah was born and God told him, you're going to call him Methuselah, and when he is gone, it is going to come. I imagine calling him out every day. Hey, When you are gone, come here. Judgment's coming. Hey, when he is gone, come here a minute. Every time he said Methuselah, that's what he was saying. Every time the name Methuselah was mentioned, it was a witness in society that when this baby's gone, judgment is coming. God delivered a promise to Enoch through this baby. Can you imagine how they reacted and responded every time he got a cold? Can you imagine when he's out running playing with the brothers and sisters and he fell down and skinned his knee? Can you imagine the kind of care and intensive treatment he got in healing that skinned knee? Can you imagine every time he whimpered and every time he cried, what kind of a special attention he would get? Don't let anything happen to this thing yet. Don't let anything happen to this baby yet. Can you imagine how it would be living around a person like that? What if in this youth group right here, there was somebody here that's what God had designated for your life? When Crystal is gone, judgment will come. What if you knew somebody that God had said, when this person is gone, judgment is going to come? And so what God did to get his attention is he gave him a warning that resulted in fear in his life. Every day of little Methuselah's life, Enoch would live in a proper kind of fear that this could be the day that judgment comes. That's why it says that after 65 years, when Methuselah was born, then Enoch walked with God for 300 years. What if you looked around and you saw the one that God had designated? When this one's gone, judgment's going to come. Would it change your walk this morning? Would it change your walk today if you knew there was somebody present in this auditorium when this person's gone, judgment's going to come? What if it was Bob Smith? What if when Bob's gone, judgment's going to come? He'd get a lot more praying done for him, wouldn't he? What if it was John? When John is gone, judgment's going to come. Oh, you'd keep a close eye on their health and the status of them, because when he's gone, it's all over then. Judgment's coming. He received a warning that resulted in fear because God delivered a promise. But God was doing something else with this little baby. God was not only delivering a promise, God was demonstrating his patience. God demonstrated his patience through this baby Methuselah. Because we've already told you, and you've already known before this message perhaps, that Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived. How long did he live? 969 years. Why did Methuselah outlive Adam? Because God was demonstrating his patience for an ungodly world. He desires no one to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God was demonstrating his patience every single day of Methuselah's life. It's not my desire for anybody to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. If you're not saved yet, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's coming a day when the last one will die. And God's judgment will come. But it'll be too late for you then, but it's not too late today. You see, Enoch, he walked with God for 300 years because God issued a warning to him that resulted in fear. But secondly, not only did God issue a warning that resulted in his fear, God also issued a word that resulted in his faith. He issued a word that resulted in his faith. Now, you cannot walk with God unless you walk with God. How? By faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd like to turn there for just a moment, it says, now, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that Enoch pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So from the birth of Methuselah, things changed in Enoch's life. He received a word that resulted in faith. Now, there's two things about Enoch that I want to mention to you in closing. Number one, Enoch was marked by his faith. From the time that Methuselah was born, there was a mark put on Enoch, and it was his faith. It was a faith mark. You see, that was Cain's big dread when he wouldn't get right with God, when he wouldn't come to God by way of the blood sacrifice. I'm afraid that there'll be a mark put upon me, and I won't be able to live. And so God did put a mark of unbelief on him. Everybody would know that he's an unbeliever, but he was a protected unbeliever until God's plan was finished with his life. But what about those who live godly in this age? God's got a mark on you too, and it should be the mark of faith. How does a mark of faith demonstrate it in a person's life? There's two ways that I want to show that to you. Number one, when you're marked by faith, your choice will be clear. Enoch's choice in who he served was clear to society. Look at what it says in verse 22 of chapter 5. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Man, we've got a socially perverse world. We've got a world that's so perverted that right has been turned upside down and wrong has been lifted up in its place. We live in such a perverted world that which is true is covered and tried to say it is not true. And that's the way it was in Enoch's day. But I want to tell you, whenever you have a perverted society, whenever you have somebody living for God, there'll be a mark of distinction put upon them, and you'll have to make a choice that is clear. That's one thing that our young people need to do is, at your schools, you need to have a mark of distinctive values about yourself. They might make fun of you. They might laugh at you. They might say all kinds of horrible things about you, but I want to tell you, it'll be a mark of distinction, and it ought to be a badge of honor for you. We said, that person's different right there. There was a young person I know that about the first week of school, they'd already marked him out as different. And riding on the school bus, the big school bully came and asked him, said, "Why don't you cuss? Everybody else here cusses. Why don't you cuss?" And he said, "Why do you cuss?" And he said, "Because everybody else does it." And he said, "My, what a foolish thing that is. I don't cuss because I choose not to cuss. It's not an honorable thing to do." And then he got called all kinds of horrible names and laughed at by the bus people. But I want to tell you, there wasn't any laughing in heaven. There was celebration in heaven. And when Enoch made his choice, brother, his choice was clear from this day forward. I'm walking with God. 300 years he walked with God. But not only was his choice made clear, his conduct remained clean. His conduct remained clean. If you think you're walking with God, but you've got the world's conduct as a part of your value system, you're not walking with God. You're walking alone. But if you're walking with God, your choice to the world will be made clear, but your conduct will remain clean. Oh, when Enoch made his choice and his conduct became clean and pure before the Lord, everybody began to take notice. Here is a man that is marked by his faith in God. But number two, in closing, let me show you this. Not only was Enoch marked by his faith, but Enoch was missed by his friends. You see, there came a day after 300 years of faithfully walking with God, being intimate with God, being close with God, being in fellowship with God, that at the end of that day, God said, "I've got another plan for you today. It's a long walk back to your home, so why don't you just come on to my home right now?" And so Enoch was a picture for all of us who are not going to taste death. There was a picture of the rapture of the church taking place right there in good old Enoch. We had Enoch being raptured up to heaven without tasting death, and he was translated up there. But in the book of Genesis chapter 5, it just simply says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not." Now my mind wants to ask the question, he was not what? He was not what? Well, as I ask that question, then the Spirit of God leads me to the Word of God, and the Word of God shows me by the divine aid of the Holy Spirit what he was not. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, he was not found because God had taken him. Now that statement, "he was not found," tells me a lot. Number one, it tells me folks began to look for this man when he was gone. You know, that's the way it is for a godly man or a godly woman. Whenever you're gone from this earth, you're going to be missed. Boy, the time would not permit us to go down the spiritual hall of fame of Rehoboth Baptist Church members that walked with God for many a year. And it came time for them to go home to be with the Lord. Brother, they're missed. They are missed. They're missed by their fellowship. They're missed by their family. They're missed by their friends. They're also missed by the world. Because their life is like salt and it's like light. And when it's not there, it's missed. Make up your mind today that you're going to be a man like Enoch. That when your time on earth is done, you want to be missed by the right people for the wrong, for the right reasons. Don't be like old Nabal. When they came and reported to David that Nabal was dead, David said, "Blessed be the Lord God forever." I know some people like that, and you know some people like that too. When it comes to you and they're dead, blessed be the Lord God forever. Don't be one like that. You be one that the whole world's going to miss, that God's family's going to miss, and your friends are going to miss. Because your life is bound up as one who's different. It's distinct because you walk with God in a pleasing way. Now, there's some here today that you've never walked a day in your life with God. You don't know Him in a personal way. Right where you sit, you can start walking with God today. It starts by releasing control of your life to Him, by admitting that you're sinful compared to His holiness, by admitting that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and the only way that you'll ever know happiness is by surrendering to Him as Lord and Savior. And right where you sit right now, you can invite Him to be the Lord of your life. That today you're telling Him, "I want to begin walking with you. I surrender my life to you." Right where you sit, you just pray this prayer in your heart to God. In the balcony, on the main floor, in the choir, orchestra, wherever you're at, you can pray this prayer. "Dear God, I'm a sinner. I'm undone in your sight and I'm unclean in your sight. But today, I believe you love me just like I am. Today I turn from my sin and my self-efforts to save me, and I turn to Jesus. And today, Jesus, I give you complete control of my life. You are my Lord. You will be my Savior. And from this day forward, I put you first in my life." Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it with your heart, God has received you on His terms. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved other than Jesus Christ. And you just came to Him in the name of Jesus, surrendering control of your life to Him. We'd love to help you get off to a great start in your new walk with God. If you'll come forward and make yourself accountable to God and with us, just by telling us that, we've got some people that will give you some wonderful information to help you get off to the first steps as a child of God. It might be that today's the day you're ready to start your new membership at Rehoboth Baptist Church. God has already spoken to you. He's feeding you here. He's meeting with you here. And now it's a question of obedience for you. Would you come and join this church today? It's very simple. You may not know how to do that. You just come forward, tell one of our pastors or myself, "I'm ready to join this church," and we'll take care of everything else. Or it may be that your life has really not been marked by faith, and today you want to come and say, "Oh God, I've been compromising in this compromising world, but today I want my choice to be made clear. I want to start walking with God." Father, thank you so much for these precious people. Now take this time that we have for obedient responses to you and draw out those who prayed that prayer. Give them the courage of Enoch. Give them the faith of a Daniel. Lord, just to stand up and be counted as part of the children of God today. Give them the courage to come forward and say, "I'm ready to start walking with you, Lord." Father, I pray for those who are supposed to join the church today. May they come out of obedient response to you. We receive them gladly into this fellowship. And Father, for those who don't want to compromise, but want to stand tall for Jesus, may they come today and respond to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The church, would you stand, please?